an example of one who surrendered all. And it looks to me that we could actually say that Abraham surrendered all to God. And I hope and pray, if it can't be said of us this evening, that it will be said of us in this lifetime that we've surrendered all. And it's very good if it can be said, and if we can say with heaven bearing witness to that fact, that we have truly surrendered all. As we looked at the life of Abraham, we noticed that Abraham was a man who had surrendered many things. He surrendered his country. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country." Now I hope as we discuss this subject this morning that you did not take it that I was saying, look, we've all got to be missionaries. We've got to leave the great United States of America, and we've got to travel to a far country, and we've got to set up camp over there, and there's where we've got to live. And that's not what I'm saying. The whole idea is this. God knows what He expects of each of us, whatever that is. If your gifts, if your talents, if your abilities happens to be being a missionary in a far country, then that's where you need to go. That's what you need to do. But yet there's so much work that needs to be done in our country, in our communities, in our state. There's so much to be done. So for those who have that as part of their life to go into foreign countries, they have that desire, which we are told to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. There are many ways to go, and I'm thankful for those that do that. But when we look at Abraham's life, God had a specific reason for having him to leave his country to go into a far country. And it all tied back into the coming of Jesus the Christ to save the world from sin. That was in that plan that God had laid out, and Abraham had a big part in that plan. And so for things to work the way God had intended, he had to leave his country and go into a far country. But the point for us to make application, it may be as many preachers, they leave their homeland, their birthplaces, their homes, and they go off and preach. Others do it temporarily, some do it full time. Whatever the need is to serve, we need to surrender, whatever that means for us. He had to give up his kindred, his kinship. And again in Genesis 12 and verse 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." And so we notice that his father died in Haran. He left. They all left together. Also, Lot, who was his nephew, left as well. But God had told him to leave his father's house and to leave his kindred. And so that's what was required of him. And that's also how he showed his faith in God and the promises of God, by doing what God told him to do. You can imagine probably what that would be like if God had told you to leave your country, to leave your family, your parents, to leave your kinfolk and move off like he did Abraham. That no doubt was a difficult thing. All of those things that are mentioned there, none of which I would think would be very easy. But Abraham, being the man of faith that he was, he did exactly what God said. Also, Abraham surrendered his own wisdom and judgment. Sometimes this is very hard for man, to give up his own wisdom, that being like human wisdom. You know, what I think, what I feel. A lot of times, especially when what we're thinking and feeling to be right and wise does not line up with God's wisdom, then guess what? We're in the wrong. And a lot of times man doesn't pay God that much attention. He pays more attention to his own human wisdom and his own human judgment. Abraham was not like that. Abraham surrendered his own wisdom and judgment. In Hebrews 11, verse 9, the Bible says, by faith. There it is right there, really. Abraham was a man that walked by faith. He didn't walk in what he thought. You know, I think, I feel, I this and that. Or so-and-so said this, and so-and-so believes that, and so-and-so instructed this. He didn't go by all that. He, by faith, Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. And so human wisdom is causing millions of people out there today to not see their need for the gospel of Christ. To someone outside, to someone who's really not a believer in God and in His Word, to tell that person that deity left heaven, took on the form of flesh, died on a cross, shed His blood, His life's blood, so that they could be saved, would probably seem rather weird, strange, odd. But once we get into the Word of God and we study and we start seeing the whole picture, it makes perfect sense. But to people who are trusting in their own wisdom, human wisdom, philosophies of men and things of that nature, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But like we mentioned this morning, Naaman dipping seven times in that muddy river of Jordan didn't make a whole lot of sense to us either, did it? Except for the fact we know God told him to do it. And when God says, if you'll do this, I'll do this, then you do what God tells you to do because He's going to keep His word. Titus 1:2, God cannot lie. Isn't it amazing how when we follow God's instructions in difficult situations, isn't it amazing how things go much smoother? You know, and I tell you all the time, and I believe this, most of the time when we're in difficult situations, our first thought of how we should react is normally human, 100%. And what we need to do is kind of let that thought go right on past and think, like they say, what would Jesus do? Think back on God's wisdom, God's word, God's instructions, and go, well, God said, kill them with kindness. It works, doesn't it? People want you to retaliate. They want you to fire back when they're being ugly to you. That's what they want. That feels good to them. They want that. But when you don't engage yourself in those kind of things and you practice what the Bible teaches, it's amazing how things work out. Brother Cates was one of my dearest friends and one of the men that I looked up to as much as anyone, probably with the exception of my dad. And he was the one, preachers have to have other preachers and other people that they can call when they're in certain situations. And especially if you're young and you haven't been through that, and it can get very difficult. And I didn't call him a lot in situations like that, but on occasions, rare occasions, I did. And Brother Cates would say, Brother Ray, try this right here. And I'd be thinking to myself, that's not going to work. Because that's not the way I was thinking. That's not, you know, most of the time when we call people, we really want them to just confirm what we're already thinking, right? Because usually we're going to do what we're already thinking anyhow. But I made it a practice when Brother Cates told me how to handle a situation to give it a try. And sometimes, you know what he said? There were occasions when he said, Mike, don't even respond to that nut. I'd be like, Brother Cates, I've got to reply. I've got to answer. He said, don't do it. Don't get anywhere. There's no good in that. But anyhow, I would put the things that he said into practice, which he had learned from studying God's Word, the wisdom he got from God's Word, that he no doubt had put into practice or seen others. And when I would do those things like he said to do them, things would just work out so smoothly. I would be amazed because what he would tell me to do was never what I had on my mind of doing. But he was wiser and older than myself. And so Abraham understood, you do what God tells you to do, the way He tells you to do it. Don't you worry about it, because God's going to take care of it. It's going to work out. It will. Just put it into practice. And so he surrendered his own wisdom. He also, Abraham, the fourth point was, he surrendered his personal privilege in the interest of peace. And you remember That was all a part of God's plan too, because God was kind of helping him, I guess you would say, maybe providentially, to start moving those kindred out of there, because for the reason that God, you know, whatever his reason was, he had told him to leave his father's house and leave his kindred. Well, here they are, and the land cannot really contain all that Lot has and his herdsmen and everything God blessed him with, and Abraham's and his herdsmen. And so there began to be strife between the two groups of men, those herdsmen. And so there came a time when, of course, Abraham did not want any strife to be between him and his kinfolk. And so you remember Abraham, who was the one who was to inherit all that good land. It was really his. He took his nephew to that high place, and he said, "You look both ways, and you choose the way you want to go, and I'll go the other." Well, in a small sense, my dad used to do me like that. When we'd have a litter of coon dog puppies together, my dad would always say, "Mike, you go pick yours out first, and then I'll take what's left." And you know what? I'd always pick the best-looking little pups out there, and I'd leave him those old ugly, scrawny ones. His would always end up being better than mine. But that's the way a father's love is, right? "Son, you just go pick the best, and I'll take what's left." Well, you see what kind of love Abraham had for Lot, and for God, and for peace. He could have said, "Oh, no, nephew, you're going to take this way because it doesn't look nearly as good as that way. I'm going to take these well-watered plains of Jordan, and you're going to take this other." He could have done that, and he would have been okay in doing that. I mean, it would have been right. Nothing wrong with it. But you know what? He said, "You know, I've got that privilege to do that, but that's not the way I operate." And isn't it amazing when you give people your best, how good it feels? You don't want to give them what you really don't want. But also, when you give like that, it's given back to you, as the Bible says, 100-fold, right? Oh, it's so wonderful. When you learn that, and it's so peaceful to be able to enjoy that way. Now, Abraham, this is where we left off. Abraham also surrendered his own son. Now, he did a lot of surrendering up to this point. Major surrendering. Very impressive. All of that. But maybe none as impressive as this. In Genesis 22, verse 2, the Bible says, God speaking to Abraham, he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Isaac, Abraham's most prized possession. You have children. I'm sure every time you read this story of Abraham and Isaac, you probably kind of think in your mind how that must have been for Abraham. "Y'all know I have one son, and it would tear me all to pieces if God told me to offer his life on an altar. I don't know if I could do that. I guess if God spoke to me and told me, I'd probably be too afraid not to do it, but can you imagine how hard that would be? I'd like, God, can I give you something else? Just look the place over. Check out my banking account." Well, he wouldn't be too interested in that. "I'll give you my house. I'll give you my land. I'll give you all these other things, but not my son. That's just asking a little too much." God said, "Your son." Notice, he said, "Thine only son." Well, he had another son, didn't he? Wasn't Ishmael his son? But not from Sarah. He was the only one of that kind. You see, Hagar was a handmaiden. Sarah was the one that he chose. Vast difference between the two. And she was a free woman. And that was the only son he had of that free woman. You know he loved Ishmael. The Bible teaches us, shows us that very clearly, but not like Isaac, the promised child. Notice, God says, whom thou lovest. God knew how much Abraham loved Isaac. There was probably nothing on the earth that he loved more than he loved that son, unless it was Sarah. He loved that son, but God told him, you take that son, you surrender him up to me on that altar. And you know what's amazing? Abraham did it. You want to talk about surrendering all? Abraham is a great example of one who surrendered all, but he also did it by faith, right? He knew that God would raise him from the dead because of the promise that God had already made that of his loins the Christ would come and that he would have many offsprings through his son Isaac. You know, don't you know he could have made a lot of excuses? A lot of things he could have said, you know, about having to offer that son, but he didn't do it. As I think about him, then on the other side of the coin, I think about the rich man that came to Jesus and he wanted to know what he had to do to get it, to inherit eternal life. In Matthew 10, verse 21 and 22, the Bible said, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. One thing. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. You see, he loved his possessions more than he loved God, and Christ knew that. You know, if he had given up all of his possessions, don't you know God would have replaced them manyfold over? Sure, he would have. But this man was trusting in uncertain riches. Can you imagine if God had told Abraham, you give me all your possessions? He would have been more than happy to do that instead of having to offer his son on the altar, I'm sure. But see, that wasn't... Abraham didn't have that problem, did he? He would have gladly given all that he had to God, and he showed that by offering his son Isaac on that altar. Boy, he was a man that sacrificed. He surrendered all. Abraham also surrendered his will to God's will. If you go back and you look at all these things we've already talked about him surrendering, his country, his father's house, his kindred, all the way down to his own son. Why was he able to do all that? It's very simple. He had already surrendered his will to God. He was no longer living for Abraham. He was living for God. It was not Abraham's will that mattered to Abraham. It was God's will that mattered to Abraham. He was following the example of Jesus. You remember Luke chapter 22, verse 42? Jesus praying and saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That sounds just like Abraham. Don't you know that he may have thought in his mind, God, can I give you something else besides my son? But I would rather give these things, but thy will be done and not mine. If it's my son you want, it's my son you shall have. Jesus is like, let this cup pass from me. But since he had surrendered his will to God's will, before he finished, he said, nevertheless, thy will be done, not mine. That's really the key to it all, isn't it? Is to surrender your own will to God's will. Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, he meets the Lord, the bright light, he falls to the ground. And he has a conversation with the Lord, but notice what happens on that road. Was he saved on the road to Damascus? No. But did he surrender on the road to Damascus? Yes. How do we know? Because he was trembling and he said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? He surrendered. And it mattered not what the Lord had told him to do. At that point in time, Saul was going to obey. Because he had surrendered his will totally to God's will. In John 7, verse 17, Jesus said, if any man will do his will, God's will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. You remember Jesus even said in John 6, verse 38, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. That's the key to surrendering all. You surrendered part of your will and you hold part of your will. You haven't surrendered all. And you know as well as I know. And I know y'all are faithful Christians. But y'all know how hard it is to surrender all of your will to His will. It's easy to surrender some of your will to His will. That's not a problem. It's those things we don't want to really surrender. That's when it gets difficult. And those things are different for different ones of us. But the key to what Abraham was able to do was, I believe, he surrendered his own will. But also, the Bible teaches that Abraham surrendered his doubts. His doubts. I want to read to you from the book of Romans. Romans chapter 4. I want to read a few verses and you'll see that point made very clearly. Romans chapter 4. I'm going to start reading with about verse 16. Notice what Paul writes about Abraham. He says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. If you have that kind of faith, he's your father. And you know we're also taught in Galatians 3, 26 and 27, well, 28 and 29, that we are of Abraham's seed by faith when we are baptized into Christ Jesus. Look at verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. That's what God said to Abraham. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they be. Who against hope, talking about Abraham, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. In other words, they were way past the age of childbearing, way beyond. As far as childbearing goes, they were as good as dead. Then it says in verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Notice some of the things that are said in there about Abraham. First of all, he believed in hope against hope. In other words, he had hope or there was no hope. That's how much he believed in what God had said. When you look at his condition, his physical condition, Sarah's physical condition at that time, at that age, there was no hope of them ever being able to conceive and have a child. But Abraham's faith was so strong, he hoped against hope. The Bible says he was not weak in faith. He staggered not through unbelief. He pressed on. The Bible says he was strong in the faith, and he was fully, absolutely, completely persuaded. Faith, he didn't have any doubt. When God tells us that if you'll obey the gospel, be faithful unto death, I'll give you a crown of life, do we doubt? We should never doubt the promises of God. We may look at our own selves and doubt ourselves somewhat and realize how unworthy we are, but we should never doubt the promises of God. God sent His Son, who was absolutely perfect in every way, to die for imperfect people like us, so that imperfect people could be in heaven with Him when this old life is over. Don't doubt that. You be faithful unto the end. Surrender that doubt. Give up that doubt that you may have, because you have reason to do so. Abraham did. And then notice this. Abraham surrendered without hesitation. That's amazing. That's impressive. Notice what is said about Abraham in Genesis 22, verse 3. The Bible says, "And Abraham arose up early." He rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Notice, early in the morning. There's a good study there if you want to study things that were done early in the morning. Why would God even put that there? What difference does that make? God's saying to us as we read this passage of Scripture, this man here surrendered all. And he didn't put it off till the last moment. He got up early in the morning. Now, who would get up early in the morning to go sacrifice his son on an altar? I hate to say it, but I've been known to drag my feet a time or two when I didn't want to do something that I had to do. I remember the first time Aletha told me I had to cut her hair after she's going through chemo. And I said, "Baby, can't somebody else do it?" She said, "You got to get this dead rat off of my head, and you're going to do it." You know what I did? I drug around all day long. I walked through the house. I went through the front yard. I went through the backyard. I must have fed the dogs four times that day. I did everything I could do because I knew how precious her hair was to her. But she said, "You're going to do it." Oh, I drug it out. I promise you, I drug it out as long as I possibly could. Then I took care of business. What is that compared to offering your son? I'm just glad it was Abraham and not Mike. The longer I live, the older I become, the more I really appreciate people in the Bible that I read about, and I really see their strength now that I've lived long enough to know how hard life can be and how difficult. And I look back at people like Abraham doing what he did, and the Bible says he rose up early in the morning to go on his way to offer his son unto God. What a man. What a godly man. And then I think about Moses and how he led those whiny, crybaby, murmuring, complaining Israelites all those years. You want to talk about a leader? How did he do that? We've got some wonderful examples of godly people in our Bibles. And that's why we need to keep studying that Old Testament, by the way. Don't you ever stop studying the Old Testament. There's some of the richest material there you'll find anywhere. That good Old Testament. And so he rose up early. He didn't hesitate. He didn't walk around making excuses. He knew what God told him to do. He knew it had to be done. And so he said, I'm going to get up early in the morning as soon as I can, and I'm going to go take care of business. That's the way we need to be. When you know what God expects of you, don't put it off. Get busy. Get it done. You see, Felix was definitely not like Abraham by any means. The Bible says in Acts 24, verse 25, as Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. He believed because he trembled. But then he said, go thy way, for when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. What if Abraham had said to God, God, go your way. When I have a convenient season, I'll take my son over there to that place. Wouldn't work, would it? You see, they're just opposites. When I have a convenient season, a lot of times that convenient season never comes. The best time to do God's will is to do it now. Don't put it off. Don't wait, because you can wait till it's too late. A full surrender like Abraham had is exactly what Agrippa lacked. King Agrippa, Paul said, believest thou the prophets? What's he talking about? Christ and his dying on the cross and being resurrected. Believest thou the prophets? Good question. And then Paul, before Agrippa ever answered it, said, I know that thou believest. There was no doubt about whether Agrippa believed. But then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost thou persuadest me to surrender all, because it's the same thing, right? Becoming a Christian and surrendering all to Christ, it's the same thing, just another way of saying it. You almost persuaded me to surrender all. I think about those Christians in Macedonia. The Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, talks about how they gave above and beyond that they were able to give because they gave themselves first to the Lord. There's the key. Abraham gave himself to God. When you do that, things will fall into place. And you will be able to surrender all. But you've got to give yourself, your whole self, to God. Procrastination not only steals time, but it also steals souls. That's why Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, has this quote, and he says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in a day of salvation have I succored or helped thee. Behold, watch this, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's the attitude that I believe we see in Abraham. Now is the accepted time. When God commands, it's time right then. No need to make excuses. No need to drag your feet around. Get busy. Because as James said in James 4:14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. There are a lot of people dragging their feet tonight. People that we know. People that we've taught the truth. We know they know the truth. People that have obeyed the gospel, but they've turned their backs on God and went back into the world. And perhaps they're thinking, one day, someday, I'm going to return. There's no guarantee. There's no promise that that day will ever come. Procrastination is a terrible, terrible thing. And it will cost many people their souls in the end. So the question for us is, are you, am I, surrendering all to Jesus? You know, for some, people could say, well, I did surrender all, but I've taken some back. Surrendering all is something that I believe we continue to do. It's a way of life. And what that simply means is all that I have belongs to God, and I'm going to use it to His glory. Use your talents to God's glory. Use your homes to God's glory. Use your finances to God's glory. Use your mouths to God's glory. Use your vehicles to God's glory. Just use everything you've got to His glory. Surrender all. That don't mean you have to get rid of all of it and give everything away. And then as Paul said, be in need, be in want, and someone have to help you. Well, that doesn't make any sense. That's not what he's saying here, and that's not what I'm trying to get across. What I'm trying to get across is when you surrender all to Christ, then you use your all to His glory. If you're here this evening and you need to surrender all, we encourage you to do that tonight. If it is the fact that you need to die to self, you need to put on Christ, you know how to do that by believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized into Him, Galatians 3:26 and 27. But if you've obeyed the gospel but you have stopped surrendering all, we would encourage you to make some changes tonight. As together we stand and sing.